Welcome to the Ego Pearlcast, brought to you by the ladies of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated of Epsilon Gamma Omega Chapter in Huntsville, Alabama. Here, we blend sisterhood, service, and smiles into meaningful conversations that uplift, inspire, and connect. Whether you're driving across town, working at your desk, or curled up at home with a cozy cup of coffee, this is your time to unwind and be encouraged. Each episode, we share stories that celebrate who we are, women of purpose, pearls, and of strength and grace, and sisters committed to making a difference in our community and beyond. So sit back, relax, and enjoy another beautiful pearl conversation, because every conversation adds another strand to the beauty of who we are.
Good afternoon or good evening today. We are so excited to have all of our beautiful listeners. We want to welcome you to our very first episode of our Epsilon Gamma Omega Chapter Pearlcast. I will be your host in this episode, and on behalf of our beloved Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, Epsilon Gamma Omega Chapter, the baddest chapter in the land, I want to officially welcome everyone to this exciting new journey with us. And this podcast is all about connecting the hearts and the minds, inspiring the minds, and celebrating the stories that strengthen our sisterhood as well as our community. Today, we are especially excited to launch our inaugural episode with a woman whose story will truly touch your soul. So please join me in welcoming our dear sister friend, Renee Knight, as she shares her powerful journey of faith, courage, and survival through her battle with cancer. Her story reminds us all that strength is not just in surviving, it's in shining while you survive. And before we begin, I would be remiss if I did not take time to honor our beloved chapter president, Tanya Wood.
Thank you, Erica, and thank you, Renee. I'm so very happy about this first Pearlcast of Epsilon Gamma Omega Chapter. And it is so relevant at this time for us to begin it during October and recognize Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We in Epsilon Gamma Omega have a number of members who have survived this disease, and to have someone here with us who is so precious and so willing to tell us her story is just wonderful for us all to listen to. So special thanks to you, Renee, for giving us your story, because you know we all have our own stories. But thank you for your story. And thank you, Erica, for being the host for this evening and for your vision in ensuring that Epsilon Gamma Omega met this milestone of having a podcast. Thank you, Lee.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. So I want to get into what we're going to talk about tonight, and I'm definitely excited to dive into this conversation with our beloved sister. I'm so honored to have her here with us. Renee, tell us a little bit about yourself. Can you share some of the things about yourself?
Sure. First, thank you for this honor. I never thought I'd be in this position, so thank you very much, Tanya and Erica. This is truly a pleasure and a blessing that I would like to share. And I do call this a blessing. I am a Brooklyn girl living in Huntsville, Alabama. And loving it. Yes. I've been here a little over 20 years. I can't believe it. My spirit of my heart is always to serve others. And so I am in human resources, where I do that. But most of all, I'm very proud to share that gift through Epsilon Gamma Omega and Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
Well, welcome to the show. And we too are excited to have you here. And just to kind of have this discussion with you, I think it is so important. And while we're here in the space to discuss your journey, please tell us, and I know the listeners want to know, what was the journey like from the diagnosis to the remission?
I don't know how detailed people want me to get or what people can take, but there's more than one way to realize that something is wrong. And as God would have it, I never do something the same everybody else. So my case was very unique. Actually, it got presented at the Cancer Institute because it was something very different. And the key is knowing your body. I went to the doctor because I started to see blood in my bra. And I knew that wasn't normal. I noticed that I was active, there would be more blood in the bra. So I went to the doctor. She did an exam. And she said, uh-oh. And then she said, well, I'm not going to say the C word. And I remember one tear just dropping down the side of my face. She said she needed me to see a surgeon and get an ultrasound. So I went. And when I walked into the surgeon's office, I realized he was a former neighbor. We have both moved from Florida to Alabama just about the same time. I could tell him about his children. They had a newborn, everything. He was like, wow, you really remember. So he told me that if I was his wife or daughter, there was only one person he'd send me to. And he pulled out his personal phone and he called that doctor and said, I have somebody I need you to see right away. The next thing I know, I was at lunch the next day and I got a call for a 7 a.m. appointment. So within a day and a half, I was in with the breast doctor. He told me exactly what he thought I had. He called it DCIS. He called it DCIS. And he felt that it was just in the nipple area. He said, do you want surgery Tuesday or Thursday? And I was like, huh? So I had one of our sisters with me. And we gathered myself together. This sister I didn't even really know, but she just took me in. And I believe I had the surgery, not that next Thursday, but the week after. He said he found the tumor. They removed everything. But because I had not been a long-term patient, he wanted further testing. I took a breast MRI, which I have to tell you, sisters, is the weirdest kind of test. And it's not always comfortable, but it's necessary. So the first time, the technician said she didn't find anything. But she felt in her spirit. She felt in her spirit that there was something there. So I had another one. And I remember I was at some kind of meeting for AKA. We were at the Von Braun Center. And I remember getting that call. And I remember one of our sisters just embracing me when they were telling me and talking to me. So I kind of calmed myself down and I agreed to have the test. So I remember the calm that she gave me and I just decided I would take the second test. I had to find out. So I took that test and this is where the signs started to tell me that God was there. So I took the test and this is when the signs started and I could tell God was really a part of this. When I got home after the test, my chest, I was still bleeding. When I got home from the test, I noticed this sign. My bandages were full of blood. I had to go back to the hospital, and this lady physically almost sat on my chest for about 30 minutes to stop the bleeding. And I started to get upset because I was like, oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm facing now. They then paired me with the breast counselor. The night before I saw her, I prayed. And here are the signs. When that lady asked me if she could lay hands on me and pray for me, I knew I was going to be okay. She put her hands on me and she prayed everything I prayed the night before. And the signs were the blood from when I found the cancer, the blood from when they found the cancer, and her last name was Cross. That was my Sandy. Her name was Sandy Cross. I knew God was there. It was amazing. So, needless to say, I go to these doctors and I find out what's going on. And they told me that the mass was so large and so deep and it had been there so long that I would be disfigured if I had it removed. So I did make the choice to have a double mastectomy with reconstruction. So I went through that. I've had a total of 7 surgeries, not including the first one. And after every surgery, I had some kind of crazy reaction. But the reactions always happen on the 3rd week after or the seventh week after. So my theme, because I believe God gave this to me because I got a big mouth and I don't have a problem talking about it. My theme is always the blood, the cross, 3-7 in me. And that's what I remembered the entire time of my journey. Because he always showed his presence somehow. It might have been not been the most comfortable, but he always showed me that he would get me through. That was my first journey. I say first because I tell people you have to know your body. Almost 10 years later, I was trying to work on my scars from the surgeries, and I felt something. Now, I remember a lady that said before, if you've had breast cancer once and you feel any kind of lump or bump, you're going straight to the doctor. And that's just what I did. And so, once again, went through the ultrasound, and sure enough, there was a tumor, and it was cancer. So 2013 was my first journey. 2023 was my second journey. This time I required 21 rounds of radiation. They said that they thought I would need chemo and radiation. There's a test that can tell you the probability of whether chemo will work or not. I took that test. And I remember there was another one of my sisters with me. The doctor came in and he was smiling. And I said, what's going on here? He said, Renee, I have never seen a score like this. He said, you got a 7. And that meant there was less than 1% that chemo would even work or need to have it. He said, so I'm not putting you through something that you don't need to have. And it was a 7, y'all. 7. There's that number again. So I knew I was going to be all right with my 21, 3x7 sessions of radiation. God was all over it. All over it. And my doctors in my first journey used to say, Renee, you okay? You sure you don't want to talk to me? I am fine. I know who got this. Let's just get this over with. And that's how I made it through both journeys.
And that really does answer the next question about managing the emotional aspect of what you were going through and the mental anguish that you were dealing with. That truly does answer that question, because it seemed like there was a lot of challenges that you were facing and God was with you every step of the way. And you put your faith in him and you trusted him and you paid attention to those sweet love notes that God leaves for us to remind us that he truly does care for us. And I love how the symbolism that you used in your testimony, it speaks to God revealing himself to us in the smallest ways if we're still enough to discern them, identify them, and acknowledge what they actually are for us. So I love that. Now, who was your support system? I know you mentioned a person, an individual that, you know, talk just for a few minutes for your support system. How did you connect and all that?
You know, if you would ask our beloved sister Jean Owens how we connected, we went to the same church. But I don't know, it just fell into place. And she moved me in her home, literally. After every surgery, she moved me into her home. And then the second go round, our beloved sister Vanita King became my big sister. And she moved me into her home. Set up the bedroom and everything for me. And that's just the beauty of our sisterhood. It really is. They really got me through. They really got me through. And, you know, I don't have family here, so that's... But I really do have family here. I've got ego.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. And that is a wonderful thing to have, definitely to have a sisterhood and have a community that can surround you and support when you hit hard times. That is so important. And that's one of the primary things that I love about our sisterhood and our sorority and our chapter is just the support that everyone that you need, if you needed anything, you know, they're just a phone call away and able to speak life, able to be there for you. So now when it comes to community, just kind of to change things up, what motivated you to begin to give back to the community?
Well, I remember in my journey, there were certain things that I found out about how African-Americans are treated or the resources that we have. I remember the thought of having prosthetic breasts. They don't make them in our color. And I remember I was at the store looking, and the lady looked through every catalog she had. She took me in the back room and supplied. And I remember one woman that is not melanin, and she was astonished. And she said, "There's nothing." I said, "There's nothing." They offered me a pair of clear. And I had my aunt's voice in my head, my aunt Sissy, when she had it. I'm going to say it, y'all. She said, "I don't have no white." And that's exactly what my aunt said. And it just came back in my head. And I couldn't say that to the lady, but I just left. Then I was invited to be a member of the pilot group for the Susan Komen grant for the hospital through Liz Hurley. And I was part of the pilot group. And so I was able to bring our perspective to share with the hospital and to others to be more understanding. It was a great program, Thriving and Surviving, fabulous program. And we actually got qualified for the grant for Huntsville Hospital. But when we had visitors, I remember the session with makeup or hair care. It was nothing for us. No. So I did pull the counselor aside and I said, "You know, these are nice colors and all, but we all can't wear this." And she looked at me and then she realized. So I think part of my purpose, like I said, I have a big mouth, so God gave it to me. I think I have my purpose to talk about it more. I've run into people in airports or other places, and I don't know how the conversation comes up. And they're always African Americans. And I share my story. I don't know these people from Adam, but I just really think that's my purpose.
And so what do you do? And thank you for sharing that. I think that is wonderful. We are definitely overcome by the word of our testimony. What can you tell us just a little bit more? And I know we're coming down to, you know, our end of our episode. But what can you tell us about your hobby and what you like to do in your spare time?
I like to sing.
Yes, you do. And we like you to sing, too.
I like to sing. And
listeners, really quickly, she has the most fabulous voice I've ever heard. We heard her sing the national anthem this weekend, and I was fully blessed, and she wowed the audience, so it was definitely wonderful. But go ahead, I'll let you finish.
Thank you. And I really, truly do like to serve. I really am, and I've spoken to Tanya about this. I've got to get more active. Nobody would believe I've been star of the year and all this other stuff. But as soon as I get my job settled and get that work-life balance, I'll get back out there. So that's one of the reasons I said yes so quickly to Tanya about this opportunity, because I really want to get out and serve the community more. Yeah, so those are my two passions, other than shopping. Got to get rid of it.
Absolutely. Y'all yes, ma'am. Yes. My last question, what message do you want to share with others tonight?
I think the most important things, one, is for our sisters and brothers, because they are affected too, to know their body and to not be ashamed. If you think something's going on and you don't want to take care of yourself, take somebody with you. Also, be prepared with your questions. You have the right to ask the doctor what you need to know. And if they don't want to answer, then you know that's the doctor. It's not for you. Okay? Make sure you understand. And most of all, your attitude throughout this journey is what determines how it goes and how long and how you deal with it. Because I actually try to say, why me? What was me? Cry, and God would not let me. Because that's the message, is why not you? And that's how you have to face it. And if you ever, ever need help, there are great resources out there. Not only your sisters, the Bosom Buddy Group at CCI. Fabulous women. I went to them before I even started my surgeries and all, and learned so much. Talk to people. I learned things that the doctors can't tell you because they didn't have it. You know, I didn't know I needed one of those stand-up chairs after my mastectomy. I couldn't open a bottle of water. I couldn't sit up. That chair is what helped me. I didn't know I had to wear a medical bracelet because you really can't touch this cancer side for risk of lymphedema at least 5 years. Button-up shirts on your wrist. Be careful. Lymphedema's a danger. Nobody tells you those things, but the people that've been through it. And then, of course, our beloved sister, Jolanda Harris, with that, woo, that journey camp for survivors. I tell you, there's nothing like it. We're there for you, sisters. We are there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. I know that everyone's time is precious, so I just wanted to give the opportunity to have words and ask you a few questions. I definitely was blessed by your testimony, so thank you so much for sharing. Tanya, do you have anything that you would like to add or ask?
I don't have anything that I would like to add because it was just such a beautiful testimony of what Renee experienced. And I did capture a few nuggets from that I think that most everybody who listens to this will know. The first thing that rang out to me was that you need to know your body. And then the second thing was that really you need to know your God. If you don't have that relationship, you need to establish one because he will reveal to you the things that you need to know and give you and put in your path those people that can make such an important impact in your life. And then lastly, it is always good to hear the gratefulness for our sisterhood. We don't know at many times the impact that we will have on each other or the impact that we will have on our community. And I think through this Pearlcast today and what we learned through this episode, all of that was shown. Thank you, Renee, and thank you, Erica.
Thank you guys. Wonderfully, wonderfully shared. I appreciate those nuggets. Know your body and know your God. Thank you for that. Thank you for that recap. It was good. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are gentlemen joining, you are definitely welcome to tune in. We are able to cast on a couple of streaming platforms. So this one will be found on Spotify and Apple. So we're excited to have those avenues for you to be able to tune into our podcast. It's a very, very awesome times. And definitely we'll be working on some other ways to share to make sure that they hit the streaming platform. So stay tuned for those on our public social media platforms for Epsilon Gamma Omega Chapter. Other than that, thank you guys so much again. And we will see you guys on our next episode. So tune in once a month, at minimum once a month, as we share our jewels and beauty and pearls with our audience. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for sharing this platform with us, Tanya Woods and Renee. Thank you again. Have a blessed evening.
As we close this very special inaugural episode of the Ego Pearlcast, we want to extend our heartfelt gratitude to Tanya Wood, our chapter president, and her vision and leadership, and to our courageous guest, Renee Knight, for sharing her powerful journey as a breast cancer survivor. This month, our conversation has been centered around strength, sisterhood, and survival, reminding us that together we shine brighter and stand stronger. Thank you for tuning in and adding your light to this strand of sisterhood. We are so grateful that you joined us for this first Pearlversation. Until next time, stay inspired, stay connected, and always remember, every conversation adds another strand to the beauty of who we are. So don't forget, tune in next time for another episode of the Ego Pearlcast, where we sparkle with purpose and shine with love.